If you don't mind, let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this day you've given us and just the amazing blessing of being able to be here. Bring all these requests before you, Lord. I ask for your blessing on this message, that you give me both wisdom and accuracy, that you would speak through me, speak to my heart as well as the hearts of everyone here, and that your word would go forth in the way that you desire. Bless this upcoming week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so excited to be able to come here today. I feel like I've been waiting forever for this moment. Now it's actually here. These last few weeks on Sunday morning, we've been talking in Romans. And it started off with the depths of our sin of humanity. Moved on to the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. And his righteousness that he gives us. After that, we come to how in Christ, after we have attained that righteousness, that justification, how we can be freed from sin and walk in freedom. And then we come to the reality of the struggles of the Christian life, how even though we have been saved from that sin, we still struggle with the old flesh. But then we went to, this last Sunday, the victory that we have because of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. I was thinking back on this progression, and I've been studying something completely different. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, this leads up exactly to what I've been studying. And in particular, a verse in Romans kind of summarizes what I'm going to be talking about. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become formed to the image of his Son. I've been studying in the book of 1 John, and that's where most of this is going to take place. And what I'm going to talk about tonight is abiding in Christ. The cool thing about abiding in Christ is that abiding starts, or should start, right after the point of salvation and goes all the way to the point of heaven. There, it includes sanctification. It includes the living day-to-day in Christ. And I was trying to think of what is abiding. It's being like Christ, imitating him, dwelling with him, being very close friends with him. And eventually, the more we abide, the more we start to mirror his character and what he is like. And 1 John 1:4 gives us a really cool theme for the entire book of why and why would we want to abide. It says, "These things we write so that our joy may be made complete." We want joy. We want peace, the peace of God. And that comes through abiding and fellowshipping in him. So what I'm going to talk about tonight, I first want to make very clear, this is talking to the Christian. This is not talking about any works to salvation. This is not talking about someone before he is saved. This is talking about the person who has been saved and now who hopefully is living for Christ and how one does that. So let me start by reading 1 John 1, starting in verse 5. "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." In talking about the subject of abiding in Christ, we start with a very important point. God is righteous. He is holy. He is so absolutely pure. And it goes on throughout the book. I'm not going to read them all, but it goes on in chapter 4, 8 and 11. Talks about how he is love. 5, verse 6, it talks about how he is truth. 5, verse 20, life. 2, verse 29 and 3, verse 7, righteous. 3, verse 3, pure. And 3, verse 5, sinless. We serve an incredible, absolutely pure, holy God that we cannot even begin to imagine or understand. And now we're thinking about what a crazy idea that we could be close friends and have close, abiding fellowship with a God who is so holy. It blows your mind when you meditate on it. And going on to verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The man or woman or child who walks in darkness and who has sin cannot fellowship with God. So man needs to be pure in order to have this fellowship and abiding with God. He needs to have no sin. But this is impossibility. And going on down, we come to the very clear truth that even as Christians, we are imperfect. We still struggle with sin. As I believe it was Mark Shelley spoke on just a couple weeks ago, that's the reality of it. We still have the flesh. We still struggle with sin. And so, reading in from verse 6, or verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. This passage blows me away because it starts with the assumption you are sinful. Then it goes on that, and remember, this is after the point of justification. We have been justified. We have been declared righteous. That now, having been declared righteous, we are able to be pure and holy because we take on the righteousness of God. And as we walk in Christ, as we confess our sins, as a parent would forgive their child, not as a judge would forgive someone who is guilty. As a parent forgives a child, God forgives us when we sin and restores that fellowship. Because remember, our sin has already been wiped away at this point. Because of Christ and what he did, we are now able to be pure and have this fellowship with Christ. That is what everyone would want. And have this joy that the Bible speaks of. In 1 John 2 and 1, it promises that, well, it, in 1 John 1, 9, it promises we will be forgiven if we confess. And now, let me skip a couple chapters and go to chapter 5. I would love to have time to go through all these chapters and talk about how there's such contrast between the one who continues in sin and the one who continues in righteousness, and how what we continue in is what defines us. The one who continues in sin is of the devil. The one who continues in righteousness is of God. But instead, I decided we'll go to 5, and I'll try to summarize for us what this is talking about. So 5, starting in verse 1 and through 3. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the child of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That last phrase, his commandments are not burdensome, struck my attention because it reminded me of a verse in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's not saying that the Christian life will be easy, but in Christ, the yoke that we bear is not the yoke of the law, as we've been discussing. It is an easy yoke, a light yoke. So what is this? Because in the book of 1 John, there's a very clear connection between three words: love, abide, and commandments. If we love God, we will keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments, we are abiding in Christ. Again and again and again you see this, not only in 1 John, but in the book of John as well. So what is this abiding? Matthew 22, 37 through 40 says, a man came to Jesus asking, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." As we've been talking about, the law is good. The law is holy. And in fact, the law is from the character of God. You shall not sin. You shall not murder. Honor your father and your mother. And God is first. And it's summarized in this one little principle: love the Lord your God first, love others second. This encompasses the whole of the law and the whole of the character of God. It's not for salvation now that we are saved already. The focus is on seeking Christ and putting Him first. If we turn to John 15, verse 5. I love this section in 15, 1 through about 15 or so, because it's like a summary of 1 John as well. But in verse 5, it has a really key verse. "I," this is Jesus speaking, "am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." There's the promise that if we are in the vine, if we abide in him, we will bear fruit. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. So by ourselves, on our own, the striving, all the trying, all the "I'm gonna be good" is useless. But in Christ, as we abide in Christ, as our focus is not on the works that we do, but on the Christ that we serve and his character, we become like him. And just like a tree can't, "I'm gonna grow. I'm really gonna do it this time." It doesn't have to try because it's part of the vine. It's part of the vine, and it allows the juices of the vine from Christ to flow through it. And as we allow Christ to and His power to be in us, and His Spirit, who we talked about last Sunday, and that empowers us to be able to do good, to speak through us, we are able to do these good things. This is the part of the sanctification of how we grow in Christ. Our time is ended, so let me close with a verse or two. Are you kidding me? This is like such a big topic. How can you limit it to 15 minutes? Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. I'll summarize part of it. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love." Again, those same features: imitate, abide, continue in Christ. As children, walk in love, that same aspect of love. There's our command. Now, Philippians 2, 12 through 13. "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We take the part of seeking after God, allowing him to work through us. As we do that, Christ provides both the will to work, the will and the power to be able to work for his good pleasure. As we seek to abide in Christ, what greater joy than to allow him to work through us? It's very clear the contrast between the one who continues in sin and the one who does not. One is forgiven, one is not. And one quick progression that I noted here: As we continue in Christ, it starts with understanding salvation and accepting that as your own. It continues on to the importance of understanding that we are sinners. We have sinned, and now even in Christ, that we are righteous. We still sin, but we confess that sin. We are pure. Accept that because it's the truth of God. Once you understand that you are righteous because of Christ, now you are free to live for Him, free to be in Him, free to abide in Him. My time is ended. I would love to go on. Thank you so much for allowing me to come here tonight.